22, John chapter 3, verse 22. And this is a bit of a beginning, I think, of something like a series of sermons. And there are some things in this reading, and we'll do some focus on John the Baptist, and we'll do some expanding on some of the things that we're going to begin today. But some things appropriate for Communion Sunday in this reading. So on page 888, John chapter 3, verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained with them and was baptizing. John was also baptizing in that region because water was plentiful there. People were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. A discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. We won't get much into that today, perhaps in future weeks. 26 is where it kind of picks up for what we're talking about today. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness," talking about Jesus. "He who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." You're losing your crowd to him. John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven." John answers, the reason why they're going to him is God is directing them. God is drawing them. God is making it happen. This is exactly how God wants it to be. This is the act of God. Whoever's going to him is going there because God is moving them that way. So the first thing John says, this is God's work. Verse 28, "You yourselves bear me witness." You've heard me. You can attest to the fact, John says, that I said, "I am not the Christ. I am not the star. I am not the big deal." John the Baptist says, "You've heard me say, I'm not the big deal. He's the big deal. He's the Savior. You yourselves bear me witness. I say, I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom." Jesus is the bridegroom. Jesus is the star. He has the bride. "I'm not the bridegroom," John the Baptist says. "The friend of the bridegroom," that's John the Baptist, the best man, if you will. "The best man, the friend of the bride, the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. I hear him come in the room and it makes me happy. I hear him come into the world and it brings me joy." "Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase and I must decrease." And I'd like to read those last two sentences together again. "Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete." Why is my joy complete? Because the star has shown up. The Savior has shown up. "He must increase, but I must decrease." That ends the reading of God's Word for the morning. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we are thankful for the Word. We pray now that your Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the recording of these words, we pray He would now be in our hearts and minds and souls to teach us what the Word has to say and to enable us to live as the Word teaches. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Focus us not on our flesh and not on us, but upon you and our place in your body, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in college, I had a friend, and his dad was the vice president of some international chemical company. And so they had plenty of money. They had a lot of money. And he had a really cool car. And it was a really cool, fast car. And he used to live, when we started going to school, he lived in Delaware, because that's where the chemical company, the American part of the chemical company, was based. But then they moved to Miami. And so we were coming back from a break, Christmas break, you know, January, spring break or something. We were coming back and, you know, there's that little, you're kind of regathering together. And And so he comes in. Andrew was his name. Still is his name. Andrew comes in and says, "How's your drive? How's your drive from Miami? From Miami, Florida to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. How's your drive?" He goes, "It's a good drive. I was never passed." He was very proud of this. "I drove from Miami, Florida to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and was never passed." This is kind of a guy thing, but we don't like being passed. The human beings don't like being passed. And here's what I love about John the Baptist. All of John the Baptist's friends come in and say, "You're being passed. Your crowds are going to him." We hate being passed. And here's what John... This is a series about a variety of things, and one of them is how we can learn how to be better Christians from John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, that's exactly how God wants it. That's exactly how it's supposed to be. I am glad that I'm being passed. I am glad that the crowds are going to him. We don't like being passed. It's one of the reasons why we're running around like crazy. It's one of the reasons why we're so anxious. It's one of the reasons why we can't enjoy what we've done. It's one of the reasons why we can't enjoy the success of other people. We hate being passed. That gut feeling, consciously or unconsciously, that we're being passed. This shows up in all kinds of ways. Here's one in my personal experience. Here's one of the places I remember it. I remember this like I'd just be, my kids would be little and they'd be living their lives and we'd be happy. And then I'd hear that there was some thing going on. Somebody signed up for this over here. Oh, I didn't know that was going on over there. We need to sign up for that. Because my kids can't get past. There can't be people doing stuff that we're not doing. You know, we got to give ourselves every opportunity. We got to give every opportunity. And work. And we just can't. We hate it. And I love what John the Baptist says. This is exactly how it's supposed to be. I'm doing my thing, John the Baptist, and one of the things that I'm doing is pointing to him, and I hope everybody goes over there. And there is a contentment in John the Baptist, and there is a joy. Now my joy is complete. And then he says this great phrase at the end, "He must increase and I must decrease." And my friends, this is part of the essence of the Christian life. Here is a challenge for me. Here is a challenge for us. The day in, day out process of becoming more and more like Jesus. Salvation is, I can't do this myself. I can't be good enough. I can't fix it with God. He can. He must increase. I must decrease. When it comes to getting square with God, I am saved only by my efforts decreasing, I'll save myself and putting it all on him. In salvation, he must increase, I must decrease. But then, as Christians, day in, day out, here is how you get more and more, fancy church word, sanctified. Here is how you and I become more and more like who we were born to be. When he increases and we decrease. It is a legitimate thing to wake up every morning and say to God, "You increase, enable me to decrease. You take number one, enable me to decrease." So that is a phrase I want to hang on to for today and as we go forward. One of the things that we're going to talk about as we go on is, how does he increase? Okay. Here's some of the ways he increases, and we will come back to these as we go along. But these are, you know, how does he increase? Well, the more I read the Bible, the more you read the Bible, the more we pray, the more we pray, may your will be done in our lives, the more we pray, become number one, the more we pray, you increase, let me decrease. We're starting Bible study tonight, and we're talking about the life and teaching of Jesus. Let's figure out how he can increase, how we decrease, and how to put that into action. What is he like? Again, going back to kids, you know, it's like, or any age, you know people, and you see people, and you have people in there, and all of a sudden, they're interested in something. Right? And it's surprising. I didn't even know you were interested. I didn't know you liked that before. I didn't know you were interested in that before. And what you've come to find out is that there is a person who has come into their life, a friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. And they like that thing. And now, the person you know, now they like that thing. Now they're interested in that thing. How do we know someone is increasing in our lives? How do we know someone is increasing in our lives? We start to like what they like. What they like begins to have an influence on us. So one of the ways we know that Jesus is increasing is, what is Jesus like? What does Jesus think is important? What does Jesus think is worth our time? What is Jesus' definition of a good day? What is Jesus' definition of a good life? What is Jesus' definition of good character? As that begins to influence us, he is increasing. As that begins to even change us, he is increasing and we are decreasing. Am I going to give him the spot he deserves? The one who made me, the one who bought me, the one who's taken me home. For this new year and for all of our lives, here is it. Here is something that we can challenge ourselves with. How does he increase? And how do we decrease? When he says, my meat is to do the will of my Father, how does that increase in us? How do we pray for that to increase in us? And we'll talk about more angles on this as we go along, but today I'd like to focus on love and joy, because that's where John starts. This makes my joy full, John says. My joy is complete. I hear his voice and it makes me happy. And so I want to just give two little examples of how the increase of another marks our love, and what's good for another marks our love of them. Here's the first one. The first one is, it is a mark that you truly love someone that you enjoy their increasing. Good parents want to watch their children increase. Good friends enjoy the success of their friends. The success of my friends is not a threat to me. When we have the love of God, when we have the somebody-ness of God, when we say God has made me somebody, when I understand that God has pulled me from the pit of hell by his grace alone and put me in his life and given me work to do, the increase of other people is not a threat. Their joy is not a threat. Their satisfaction is not a threat. We love the people we love. We love it when the people we love increase. It is a mark that we love Christ that when we see him increase in our life, it doesn't bother us. We know it's good for us. The choice is always for the Christian. Excuse me. The choice is always for the human being. You may be a role player or a support player in a story called The Greatest Story Ever Told, which is the work of God in the world. You may be a role player, you may be a supporting player. You're never an extra. I want that to be very clear. You're never an extra. You're not an extra. But you're a role player, and you're a supporting player, supporting actor or actress. In a story called The Greatest Story Ever, what God is doing. Or I can make that choice, or I may be the star of an incredibly bad, incredibly vain, useless, buried in the sands of time in a very short time, story called My Life Without Christ. Those are our choices. I can increase, and I can be the star of a meaningless story. Or I can decrease and I can have a role in the eternal story. That's what John the Baptist understands. We love to see the increase at all. And here's another aspect of love and increase and decrease. We are humble enough to say, when you go over there, I love you enough, that's better for you. That's what John the Baptist says. I love you enough. I want you to go over to him. You know, when the kids were little, Stacy worked in Big Stone Gap. When Laura was really first born, it was time, you know, Stacy went back to work. And we found this wonderful lady who lived in Big Stone Gap. And she had two or three or four of her own children, and she just raised them beautifully. And she had multiple grandchildren. She was older than multiple grandchildren. She was involved in raising them beautifully. But that wasn't enough. She took on foster children. She had 10, 20, 30 foster children at various times, some for a long time, some for a few weeks or months, come into her life and her husband's life. And she just did a fabulous job with it. She was phenomenal. And I always used to joke. I used to say, you know, a lot of parents feel guilty when they dropped. I've heard parents express this. I feel guilty when I drop my children off at daycare. I felt guilty when I picked mine up. I felt guilty when I picked mine up. It's like, we're going home. And I'm not going to take Nina's good care of you, she does. I'm not going to, you're in trouble until I get you back here, or at least until your mother gets home. I feel guilty when I pick my children up. Because she was better for them. And that's what John the Baptist knows. He's better for them. And here's what I have to get, that when Jesus increases, it's better for me. And when Jesus increases, it's better for the people around me. And now I'm going to tell you a story that helps me. It's a sports-related story, and it helps me. And if any sports fans want to disagree, I'll be in the lobby. I'll be in the lobby with Peter. I'll be in the lobby talking to someone. Here is one of my favorite sports people in the world, and he gives one of my favorite examples of what the Christian life looks like. His name is Dwayne Wade. And Dwayne Wade was one of the two or three or four best basketball players in the entire world. He was so good that he kind of single-handedly took his team to the NBA championship against a team that, you know, he was like the best player on the team that won the NBA championship. He's like really good. He's one of the two or three or four best players in the world. With all the praise and all the ego and all that comes with that. And then his friend, a gentleman by the name of LeBron James, decided to come play on his team. And LeBron James is the best player in the world. And so they were clear to win the championship every year. And the first year, they did not, and it was very clunky and choppy. And here's why. Because he had like two or four best players in the whole world. So here's what they did. You could just see them. They were just taking turns. You be the best player on the team for 5 minutes. I'll be the best player in 5 minutes. You be the best player on the team this game. I'll be the best player. You be the best player on the team this week. I'll be the best player on the team this week. And they were just such good friends. They were trying to work it out and share. And they lost. And then the very next year, this is why Dwayne Wade's one of my favorite athletes of all time. Then the next year, in my view, you could see it in the way he played, and you could see it in the way in interviews. Here's what he did. Dwayne Wade said, I am the third or fourth best player in the world. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to decrease. And he is the best player in the world. And he will be the best player on this team. And I will work off of him. I will decrease. And he will increase. And they won the championship the next 2 years in a row. And here is what is beautiful in my view. Here's how the analogy works for me. Number one, that cemented Dwayne Wade's legacy as one of the greatest players of all time. Three championships, not just merely one. Great team player and great superstar. But here's what else it did. It was better for the team. It was better for the community. It was better for everybody. Everybody around Dwayne Wade benefited because he said, I will decrease and he will increase. And you want to bless the people around you so badly, and let me tell you this, the number one way that you may bless and make the life of the people around you better is if he increases and you decrease. How am I going to bear other people's burdens? How am I going to treat other people? How am I going to witness? How am I going to share the gospel? How am I going to be generous? How am I going to forgive as I've been forgiven? How am I going to pray for my enemies? not only will your joy be full, but when He increases in your life and you decrease, when His values, when He drives, here's how we're going to make the decision, here's what we're going to think is most important, here's what we're going to spend our days on, here's what we're going to spend our time and money on, when Jesus Christ increases, the people around you flourish and they are blessed. He must increase and we must decrease. And our joy will be full. It is a joy to hear His voice, John the Baptist says. Because here is what the voice of the bridegroom says. You are loved and you are forgiven. And I go to prepare a place for you. I call you my friends. And I have begun a work in you, and I will see it to completion. Jesus, at some level, is the one whose greatness doesn't threaten us. This is how I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning all the time. When my somebodyness, when your somebodyness is based on anything but Jesus Christ, it's based on how much money I have, or how competent I am at my job, or my looks, or how many friends I have, or how much approval I have, or how funny I am, or how smart I am, or whatever it is that makes us somebody. The success of children, the success of family. That when you encounter, and you will, somebody who's funnier or better looking, or their kids are more accomplished, or they have more money, or they have more friends, or they have more power, when you encounter their superiority, it will threaten you. But when He increases, and He is the source of your somebodyness and your contentment, like He was for John the Baptist, Jesus is the only greatness that when you encounter it, it doesn't threaten you. It saves you and empowers you and brings you joy. Let Him increase. Listen for His voice. Let Him increase. And you will find this joy and satisfaction you're looking for. And you will find redemption for your days as you serve your King. As you serve your King and live the life you were made to live. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, focus us then on the communion to come and what it means. It is a salvation that we could not get ourselves. As a Savior, He increases. And it is a life. We promise to follow Him as Lord. Let Him increase in our lives. And help us trust You that when we do, our joy will be complete. Help us listen for His voice and be glad to hear His voice, because it's taken us where we want to go. Have mercy on us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare for communion,